Hello everyone, and welcome back to Bee's Corner, a true crime podcast where I will be diving into the most infamous true crime cases of all times from all around the world. Today I have another serial killer, Edward Theodore Gein, also known as the Butcher of Plainfield, or the Plainfield Ghoul. I've also seen American Psycho in a few places. He was the inspiration Gein's story inspired some movies like Psycho, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and The Silence of the Lambs. And we all know that, you know, The Silence of the Lambs is very famous. It's also one of my favorites. So I decided to dive into his story. And like always, before we begin, I do want to really apologize for mispronouncing any names or words. As you all know, I'm not a native English speaker. With that being said, let's get to it. So, Ed Gein was born to Augusta and George Gein in La Crosse, Wisconsin, in August 27 at 1906. He had a growth on his left eyelid. This caused Ed to have a lazy eye, and Ed was the younger of two sons. The firstborn, Henry, was 5 years older. Their father and mother, George Gein was an abusive alcoholic who worked periodically as a carpenter, a tanner, and a farmer. Augusta was like a fanatically religious woman, like in an excessive way. And Augusta supported the family through a successful grocery business. She also despised George and felt he was worthless and gave him like almost no part in raising the two boys. When Ed was 7, he witnessed his parents slaughter a hog. Is that how it pronounced? I hope so. Slaughter a hog in the shed behind the family store. He experienced an ejaculation upon viewing this, like at the age of 7. Like, he was 7. When he was 8, the Geins moved to Plainfield, Wisconsin, where he would be later known as the Butcher of Plainfield, to a farm because Augusta wanted to move away from the immorality of the city and the sinners that inhabited it, and the closest neighbors were almost a mile away. So when they were 8, both Ed and Henry began school. Like, it was a very tiny one-room building with just 12 students. Older could say that Ed was average at school, but he was an excellent reader. Ed was really isolated because of his lazy eye and his shyness. He also had a lesion on his tongue that caused him to speak a bit weird. And Augusta didn't really like Ed to make any friends. She would punish him when he did attempt to make friends. Augusta also verbally abused both boys, believing that they were destined to become like failures, like their father. And Ed would come home crying from kids making fun of him. And his alcoholic father would just repeatedly beat him in the head till his ears started ringing. So we have abusive parents and a bunch of head injuries added up on top of it. When he was 12, Ed was caught by his mother masturbating in the bathtub, and she grabbed his genitals and called them the curse of man. We have yet another traumatizing event happening to him at such a young age. And when he was 14... Ed finally graduated 8th grade and then dropped out of school. He still continued to be a really major reader, though. Like, he still read a lot. So we don't hear a lot about what happened until he's 21, when Augusta made both her sons the promise to always, like, remain virgins, which is weird. And 10 years later, when Ed is 31, George, Ed's father, like, becomes completely dependent on his family, and he was no help on the farm and drank away much of the family earnings. And just 3 years later, George died of pneumonic fluid on the lungs at the age of 66. Augusta pretty much attributed his death to his weakness. And she always said that he was going to hell already, that he went to hell, all of that. And Ed and Henry began to take odd jobs to help support the family. mostly as handyman though. Ed was actually employed as a babysitter a lot, which is kind of weird because he was 34, you know, like a 34-year-old babysitter. It's kind of, you know, weird. Like, especially weird that we know all of the crimes that he committed. But as far as we can see that he loved the company of children because they were easier to relate to him, because obviously, you know, he didn't have that much of experience with a lot of people. You know, he was shy, and her mother didn't want her to have a lot of experience either. So he would, of course, you know, relate to children easier. But both Ed and Henry were considered trustworthy and reliable by the townspeople. And when Ed was 36, he traveled to Milwaukee for a physical exam to be a part of the army. He was rejected due to the growth on his left eyelid, which slightly impaired his vision. This was like the farthest from home he had ever been, and the only time in his life that he would travel like so far. And two years later, like, we see that Henry was not really sharing Ed's worship for their mother. He began to openly criticize her. Henry was worried about what he perceived to be Ed's unhealthy attachment to her. This criticism really shocked and mortified Ed, because obviously Ed really worshipped their mother. And like, around this time when Henry was openly talking about all of these things, Henry died suddenly under very mysterious circumstances while he and Ed were fighting a runaway fire on the marshlands near their home. Ed reported that he had been unable to locate Henry, but then like led police directly to where he lay, like right away. Apparent cause of that was not consistent with the injuries from fire, and Henry's body had not been touched by the fire, and his head was badly bruised. So I think I'm just going to presume that Ed probably played a hand in Henry's death, because, you know, Ed really worshipped their mother, and she did not like Henry talking all of that criticism on this issue. So the county coroner listed Henry's cause of death as asphyxiation. hold up. Why is it so hard to say? Okay. Yeah, you guys get it, right? Asphyxiation. Okay. I'm not going to try to say it again. Okay. The police dismissed the notion of foul play. They did not believe that Ed was capable of killing someone, because the town really trusted Ed with their kids. Like, they of course wouldn't believe that he was capable of killing someone. And around the same time, actually in the same year, Augusta became really sick not long after Henry's death and had to be hospitalized. Augusta had suffered her first stroke. About like a year later, Augusta became worried about Ed's reading, which included head shrinking, grave robbing, and many books on human anatomy. So suspicious. And in that same year, Augusta died of complications from a second stroke at the age of 6 or 7. Ed reacted by boarding up his mother's bedroom and sitting room to be preserved, like museum style, as they had been when she was alive. A year later, Ed's already unkempt appearance degraded further, and neighbors commented on how bad he smells. He continued to live on the farm and live off small earnings from odd jobs. Ed then boarded up all but two rooms in the house. They were never reopened again until his arrest. So 18 months after Augusta died, Ed was driven by an intense loneliness. What he later said to be strange visions began to visit the cemetery where his mother was buried. After several visits, he began to dig up corpses. The first body he dug up was that of his mother, twisting her head off with his bare hands. Ed took the head and shrunk it, similar to the way his book spoke of. After this, in the same year, 8-year-old Georgia Wackler disappeared without a trace, leaving no suspects, and the only clue found was the tire tracks of a Ford. This will come in important later. Around time when he was 41 to 45, Ed began making nocturnal visits to as many as 4 cemeteries, frequently leaving without any offense. But on at least 9 occasions, Ed dug up the coffins of newly buried middle-aged women that pretty much looked like his mother. And he had scouted these women out in the obituaries. He would take what he wanted and recover the violated graves. Besides masturbation, Ed denies ever having a sexual experience in his life and stated that he never had sex with the cadavers because, quote, they smelled too bad, end quote. His cravings and compulsions still fall under the category of necrophilia. An increase in missing persons in the area began at this time as well. You know, just interesting. So when he was 35 years old, Ed visited a bar owned by Mary Hogan. She was a middle-aged woman that looked much like Ed's mother, but had a foul mouth and a trashy history, pretty much. Ed was transfixed by her because of the resemblance to his mother, pretty much, as well as the glaring difference between the two. When he was still 45, Ed dug up Eleanor Adams, a 51-year-old woman who had been buried earlier that day. A year later, Victor Bunk Travis, age 42, and friend Ray Burgess disappeared with the car after spending several hours at a local bar in Plainfield. No trace of them or their car was ever found. While kidnapping men was out of character for Ed Gein, police still suspect he had some role in their disappearance, though. Then, when he was 47, Evelyn Hartley, age 15, is abducted while babysitting for family friends. Her father found signs of struggle, including her broken eyeglasses, bloodstains, and footprints. Her panties and bra were found 2 miles southeast of La Crosse, and 4 miles further, bloody pair of men's pants was found. Her body was never found, though. It is thought that Ed was responsible. By the way, if you're hearing a dog bark at the background, that's my dog. Sorry about that. And a year later, Plainfield Tavern owner Mary Hogan, with whom Ed has earlier been transfixed, disappeared from her establishment. Police suspected foul play because of blood on the floor next to an empty bullet shell casing. Ed later revealed that he had been hanging out with her, drinking a bit. He pulled the blinds, put a 22 caliber gun to her forehead and shot her. The day after the murder, while working with Alma Uich, he admitted to killing her and said he had hung her up at his house. Elmo dismissed Ed's statement, not believing him, because, you know, Ed's always been seen as this friendly guy with, you know, babysitting kids. So, of course, he would dismiss that statement and would not believe him. When Ed was 51, he inquired from Mrs. Warden and her son about the price of antifreeze. Then we have, at the same year, owner of the local International Harvest Products shop and mother of deputy Frank Warden, Bernice Warden, disappeared from her store. Sheriff Shelley and deputy warden found the cash register gone, blood on the floor, and a 22 caliber rifle that was out of place on its rack upon arrival at the store. They also found a receipt for antifreeze made out to Eddie Gein at the last sale of the day. So after like this was found, sheriff and the deputy warden entered Ed Gein's house through the shed like that summer kitchen, and Bernice Warden's headless corpse was found hanging upside down with the with her ankles lashed to a wooden crossbeam. She was split open from vagina to sternum, filled dressed like a deer. In addition, the police found human skulls affixed to the post of Ed's bed, a box of organs, furniture made out of bone and skin, and masks. The masks were the skin portion of the head that had been stripped away from the skull and preserved. Also found was a belt with breasts hanging from it, and an entire suit made of pieced together skin of woman, complete with a vest with breasts attached, pretty much. After remaining silent at first, Ed confessed killing Mary Hogan and Bernice Warden. An autopsy report reveals that Mrs. Warden died of a single gunshot wound to the back of the head. And also, the search of the farm property began and lasted over a week. Lie detector tests, test results were released to the press. Ed was also responsible for the disappearance of a bunch of other people. After that, Ed was taken before a judge, technically being charged with robbery. The murder charge was held back in order to determine his sanity. The psychologist and psychiatrist who interviewed Ed asserted that he was schizophrenic and a sexual psychopath. The graves Graves X supposedly robbed were opened. The grave of Mrs. Adams was found empty. The beauties found more bones buried in trench of Ed's farm. One skull had a gold tooth and was believed to be the skull of a man. Ed complained of memory defects during an interview with a Dr. Schubert at the Central State Hospital. Ed was interviewed by Dr. Schubert, and Schubert found that Ed had an abnormally magnified attachment to his mother. The judge received a packet from Central State Hospital stating that Ed was insane and should be permanently committed to the hospital. Ed's sanity hearing was held when he was 52, and he was declared legally insane, and he was recommitted to Central State Hospital indefinitely. Ed's farm and personal property were scheduled for an auction on March 30, but was destroyed in a fire during the early morning hours. After 10 years in the institution, Ed was actually determined competent to stand trial, and the proceeding began. It took 9 months to pass the preliminary matters, such as, you know, suppressing evidence, filling for briefs, and appointment of counsel. The actual trial started and lasted like only 1 week. Ed was found guilty of first-degree murder of the shooting of Bernice Warden, but the court also found that on the day of the shooting, Ed was not sane. Therefore, the court concluded Ed was not guilty by reason of insanity. Ed was returned to Central State Hospital. When he was 68, Ed filed a petition with the Washoe County Clerk of Courts, claiming that he had now recovered his mental health and was fully competent, and there was like no reason why he should remain in any hospital. A judge reviewed Ed's petition and ordered a re-examination, and the judge later rejected Ed's petition and he was returned to the hospital. When he was 72, Ed was moved to Mendota Mental Institute in Medicine. And 6 years after that, Ed was senile, and after a long bout with cancer, he died of respiratory failure in the ward at Mendota. He was considered by many at the hospital to be a model patient, mild-mannered and always helpful. Ed was laid to rest next to his mother at the Plainfield Cemetery, and only 4 people attended, by the way. Okay, so I want to, like, give a quick general knowledge, general information. He, like, the listed number of victims is 7. He confessed to 2, but he's suspected of 5 more. His victim type was a middle-aged woman who resembled Augusta Gein, and he mainly used 22 rifle and a 32 revolver. He was also typed at the type of serial killer he is organized lust killer. I think that's it. So for reference, there is a really in-depth research done by Radford University students. It's very in-depth. You guys could definitely check that out. There are also like a few books about it, like Obsession. That's really a good one. You guys could definitely check a few of those out. And, I hope I delivered the case the best way I could. If you have any questions or anything like that, you could always leave them in our Instagram, Bee's Corner. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a comment. That would be really nice if you would do that. So, see you in the next episode, I guess. Bye.